You know, God is perfect, and He's the perfect Father for us. And we are His children. And sometimes as His children, we have questions, things that we don't understand. And so this summer, we're looking at some of those questions. It's called our Big Questions Summer Series. But we're looking at some of the big questions. We looked at who wrote the Bible last week. Today we're going to talk about the Jews. Are the Jews saved? Next week we're going to talk about is heaven for real? And the week after that, which is July 3rd, we're going to talk about does God love or hate America? Or does He even care about America? So we'll look at those things. But today we are talking about are the Jews saved? And I have to tell you that as a young boy, this question really sort of haunted me. I didn't really understand it. I mean, I read in the Old Testament, God talks about, you're my people, and I will save my people. I mean, they are the beloved people of God in the Old Testament. And then Jesus comes, and then you're saved through faith in Christ, which I get. But I also understood that the Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so Jesus is the Messiah for us, but not for them. But yet you have all these promises that God made to the Jews that they are His people and that they will be saved. And it was really, I don't think I really came to a good conclusion until I was in seminary. So Jewish people of the Jewish faith say Jesus was a great prophet, but they don't accept Him as the Messiah. And so before I get too far into this, though, I want to talk about what we are talking about when we talk about Jews, Jewish people. Because the truth of it is, there are people who claim to be Jewish by birth, right? My parents were Jewish, therefore I am Jewish. But they might not have ever been to a temple. They might not be practicing the faith at all, but they claim their Jewishness because it's sort of an ethnicity for them. And you see this, I saw this with the pastors that I saw in Russia. That I've talked about. They were United Methodist pastors. I spent a week with them here, and they told me that Russians would say they are Christians because they are Russian, not because of faith. And so we have Jewish people who claim their Jewishness almost as an ethnicity. They're not really believers. And so when we're talking about this question, are the Jews saved, we're talking about the Jews that have faith, the Jews that are what Jewish people call a practicing Jew. And so that's who we are talking about. And also let me just remind you that the earliest Christians were Jews. The earliest Christians, in fact, practiced Judaism and were followers of Jesus. Believe that He was the prophet, believe that He was the one, and was the Messiah. And over time, we were sort of like the crazy cousins that you didn't want to talk about at your family reunions to the rest of the Jews, those Jesus followers. And then we broke out and sort of became our own thing and were not related to Judaism. And there's lots of talk about do they need to follow the Jewish law or not in some of the letters of Paul. So, and one more thing I want to point out. This is a question for us, and it does not matter one whit what we decide. God is God. God will save whom God will save any way God chooses to save them. So, whatever conclusion that we come to these big questions, they might help us. But, I mean, they're intellectual exercises in the end, right? Because we're not God. We don't have a vote. Our opinion on who is saved and who is not, God really doesn't care. You don't have a vote. And I've told people before, I said, that you will be surprised at the people that you see in heaven. And there will be people who are surprised that you are in heaven. God's salvation is not open for a vote. So, this question, are the Jews saved? We are not the first ones to ask it. Little 13-year-old Mike was not the first one to struggle with this. This has been a question, really, that's kind of been asked throughout the ages. Paul struggled with this. Paul tried to work it out. He spends three chapters in the book of Romans kind of trying to reason it all out. And we'll get to the end of that. So I'm not an expert on Judaism, but it's clear that you have the traditional Jewish believers that believe that Jesus was a prophet, but you also have people that are called Messianic Jews, and they are people who are practicing the Jewish faith who believe, in fact, that Jesus is the Messiah. You can Google Jews for Jesus and find out some more about them. But there are Jewish people who do claim that Jesus is not just a prophet, but is in fact the Messiah and is the chosen one. One might say, Jews don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. And the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Maybe we shut our Bibles and say, case closed. But I have to ask you, not so fast. What about the promises that were made by God to Israel, that they are his chosen people and that they will be saved? Do we get to ignore them because, oh, God did a new thing, and so the promises that God made are not going to be kept because he did a new thing? But we also make the claim that God keeps his promises, right? And so you can kind of go round and round with it. We do believe that God keeps his promises. And Paul writes a lot about this in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He uses mainly a method that's called diatribe. It's where he asks a question, and then he answers it. It's a common technique. We see it a lot in Scripture. So we're reading from two texts from the book of Romans today. The first is Romans 11, 11 and 12. And this is diatribe. So I ask you, have they stumbled so as to fall? He's talking about the Jews. By no means, but through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their stumbling mean riches for the world, and if their defeat means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Paul is saying that because a portion of the Jews have rejected Jesus, that we're included. That we are saved through this stumbling of the Jews. That salvation then went to the rest of the world because Jesus was rejected by the Jews. Earlier in chapter 11, Paul claims that God hardened the hearts of some of the Jews. I don't know about that. I have to sort that out. There's this whole hardening of Pharaoh's heart, and it's complex. I mean, if God is hardening someone's heart to get something done, Does it make your head spin? It does mine. And it makes Paul's head spin as well. But what Paul is saying, because of the rejection of the Jews, salvation has come to the rest of the world. So now we're going to turn to Romans 11, 25 through 36. So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon the heart upon part of Israel until the full numbers of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. Out of Zion will come the deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they now have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So Paul is talking about Israel being complete. When he's talking about Israel being complete, he's not talking about the country, Israel. He's talking about the Jewish people. The people of the Jewish faith. Did you hear that? Paul says that all of Israel will be saved. I think the answer to the question is yes, the Jews will be saved. And really, Paul sort of, in another passage, basically says it's a mystery. How all the Jews will be saved, but God will keep his promise. It's an interesting intellectual exercise for us to go through, and questions to ask. But because the Jews are temporarily on the outs with God, salvation has come to the world. Have you ever seen such a generous and loving gift? As the mercy that God holds out to the world through faith in Christ, Paul believes, and I believe, that he ultimately will keep his promise to the Jewish people. That they will be welcomed into the kingdom of God in its final version, whatever that might look like. But the fact that the Jews are sort of on the outs with God, and we're like given this opportunity to be included in the kingdom of God, folks, that is best news I've ever heard. Jesus died that we might be forgiven. And I think that ultimately the kingdom of God includes the Jews in that, those people of faith. And Paul is clear on it. What an extravagant gift of love God has given to the world. That through faith, through the sacrifice of Jesus, we're forgiven. My friends, God is good. God, our Father, has such great love for you. Sometimes the children's sermon is the sermon. You are a beloved child of God. What a privilege that is for us. What a joy that is for us on this Father's Day to be able to call the God of the universe Father. I mean, Jesus called him Abba, which is really like Daddy. It's not like Father. It's like maybe what I call my dad, Pop. Hey, Pop, let's do that. It's a familiar term. And because of the work of Jesus, we have that privilege of calling God, the creator of the universe, Father. And we are forgiven. You know what? God will do what God will do. God will save exactly whom he will save. And we got no say about it. I, for one, am really grateful that I have no say in any of this. Because God works in ways we cannot even begin to understand. God works in our lives and in our hearts and through the Holy Spirit. Grace has come to us. It's all I know. It's all I care about. The grace of Jesus Christ is available to all. How the rest of it works, I'll really leave to God. He's in charge. Not me, and not you either. Let us pray. Gracious God, what a privilege it is to call you Father. We ask that you would let us walk more closely with you in the coming weeks. Let us be better followers of Jesus. Help us to understand your calling in our life, and help us have the courage to be about that calling. Father, we ask that you would be with this church, that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community, that people might know your great love, the great love of Jesus through us, through our love, through our deeds, from the way we treat one another and the way we work in this community. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.